All right, so welcome. I'm wondering, before I get going, if anybody could raise their hand if they're using evaluation practices in their individual classes? A few, okay. What about in their institution, like across programs as a bigger evaluation strategy? Okay, a few. Great, so we're gonna tackle how we're measuring and evaluating field-based learning courses at SPH, the USPH. So we covered a lot of this in previous presentations, but the problem that we're seeing is, you know, the same thing we've been talking about, that we have forecasted workplace shortages, lack of diversity in the field. So we're trying to expand our public health programs, and as a result, we're getting a lot of incoming MPH students who don't have the experience that they need to get into the workplace successfully. So why field-based learning? We're finding that this is a solution to the problem that we're facing, and it addresses Bloom's taxonomy, so students trained in lower-level skills are entering into higher-level advanced courses later on in their education. Okay, so this is a very tiny diagram, so I'll read some of it for you. So we're trying to find the intersections of practice-based teaching, and I think this will get to the previous question about what are faculty gaining from this experience. So what we're finding is that the agency, the faculty members, and the students really have to come together to find this successful practice-based teaching methodology. So faculty are finding enhanced expertise, professional development opportunities, research and practice opportunities. The agencies are finding that they're having higher quality deliverables, and they're able to target programs to their community where they may have not had other resources that they've been able to delegate to maybe a small intervention or an up-and-coming intervention. They're able to get some essentially free help. And the students are gaining technical knowledge and practical skills. And then we're creating this network of alumni who are able to feed back into the system. And what's the school gaining? So we need some institutional support in order to administer all of this. So we're gaining reputational capital, institutional collaboration, civic responsibility, and potential funding streams from these collaborations. So evaluation and education. So we're not going to tackle in this presentation, you know, taking down the entire institution of education and evaluation combined, but there are some problems that we're facing. So traditional course assessments are not really sufficient for figuring out if what we're doing in the course is working in the long term. So we're not able to measure non-traditional teaching strategies. A lot of our courses, our course evaluations are based on more of a satisfaction scale, like what did you like? Did you get something out of this? Do you feel good about this at the point of exit? And there's a lot of disagreement on the best ways to assess learning and evaluate teaching effectiveness, but we're going to talk about just a few that we've been trying. So again, and of course, student evaluations are commonly used. The SPH, I can speak specifically to what we're doing. They are a one-size-fits-all course evaluation. So if I'm teaching a field-based learning course and somebody else is using a flipped classroom and somebody else is using a lecture-based format, the questions are all the same. The questions about, you know, your TA and your TA engagement are all the same. The questions about faculty engagement are all the same. When the faculty involvement, the TA involvement, and the actual course may be very, very different. So we need to use multiple different assessments to measure teaching, and we need to focus on the outcomes both in the short and the long term. So what we're finding is that with field-based learning, students don't really recognize the value when they're leaving the course. They may have some positive things to say, but overall they're emailing us six months out, a year later, saying how much they appreciate what they've been learning, so we need to be able to provide assessments at those points in time as well. So, examples of what we're doing. So, I have three examples to share about, and I'm happy to answer specific questions about these after the presentation. So one is the Advanced Social and Behavioral Sciences course. It's an intervention selective, so students who are social and behavioral science concentrators have to select this course or another one that has parallel content, but perhaps a different methodology or a pedagogy approach. So deliverables, students have consultations with a client. So they're broken up in groups, and they meet with their client. They assess what the client's needs are, and they go through a planning intervention and then an evaluation proposal for the client. So they're forced to actually email the client, engage with the client, do all of the work with the client. So they have group work assessments. They have multiple drafts that they are to submit to the faculty member and to the client. And then they have skill building activities along the way, and it culminates in a presentation to the client. So for this course, we did student surveys that were anonymous and voluntary. So we were using them just for educational purposes to kind of see if the approach that we're using works. So one thing that we talked about earlier in the presentation is it takes a lot of faculty time. It takes a lot of agency time. There's a lot of time with the students figuring out how to negotiate group dynamics, how to negotiate dynamics with a client. So we want to make sure that what we're doing is working both in the short and the long term. So we had a student survey, and then we also did interviews with collaborating agencies. And students reported that they had enhanced appreciation for the field of public health. They felt better prepared. They felt like they were able to get either jobs or practicum opportunities, so their internship experience. And agencies reported that they had enhanced public health programming and that they were able to use the information that the students gave to them to enhance their programming. So a second example, this will speak more to the scaling question. So this is an introductory social and behavioral sciences course. So we have about, I think, 80 some odd students to more than that in this course. This is one of those core courses that every MPH student has to take. So instead of having each group of students meet with a client, the faculty member went to the client, did the background work to figure out what the problem statements were, and then made case studies out of them. So students worked with this case method, but it's informed by the client. So students had to use this real-world problem statement and work in multidisciplinary groups throughout the semester. So part of this is also using online learning modules and pre-class reading, so they weren't just using lecture-based format. So other things that we built into the class to make this a more successful project: structured brainstorm sessions, so that students who were finding things along the way that they weren't understanding, instead of waiting until the end and not having a successful product for the client, they were able to ask questions along the way. They were also broken up into different groups. So each TA in the class had about four or five subgroups that they worked with. So they had a main TA to go to, and then they had smaller group sessions together. So they had this structured time with someone supporting them along the way, which made it more feasible given the number of students that were in the class. So what we did was a three-month post-assessment. So they had their regular course evaluation, and then they had a three-month post-assessment. And rather than the post-assessment focusing on whether or not students were able to get jobs, since this is an introductory-level course, we asked more questions about where they will apply the information that they learned or that they gained in other courses down the line. The way that they were assessed in this introductory course was, instead of giving a presentation to the client, they broke up into groups and they were giving presentations to their TA, their faculty member, a group of faculty members that had been trained in the competencies that were meant to be addressed in the presentation, and then volunteers from the agency that initiated the problem statement. So they had a panel of people that they presented to. So they got different grades from each group of people, and that helped to culminate into their culminating case study, I think is what we called the last presentation, or the last assignment. So the last example I have is from a cross-discipline evaluation of field-based learning. So we tried to go across disciplines at the MPH program. So we evaluated the mHealth, using mobile technology to improve health outcomes, implementing health programs in developing countries, strategy management in healthcare, and communication strategies for public health. So we looked across all of those courses. 93 students were enrolled, 56 completed pre- and post-test survey. And because these courses are so different and they address such different components of a student's learning. We use multiple assessments, so classroom observations, pre- and post-test, mid-semester surveys, student focus groups, document reviews, and then pending activity analysis. We have student time tracking, faculty time tracking, course evaluations, agency interviews, so we're trying to use this rich mixed methods approach and match pre-post-test. So again, much like the other two examples, students said that their professional skills increase or technical components increase. So not only what were they meant to execute, what was the deliverable, but how were they able to do that both within their groups and then with the client. They said that their consultation techniques, their literature review, communication plans, presentations, program evaluation, leadership, public speaking, and mHealth skills all improved across the board. So it's not just about like the metrics, right? Students saying that they had an improvement in a competency. Like, our goal here is to make sure that all of our students master the competencies so when they go out into the public health workforce, they're trained and they're prepared public health professionals. But I think the feedback is also very rich. They felt like they had incredible work experience. They felt motivated. They felt prepared. I think this self-efficacy and this confidence is also a very important piece that we haven't really examined. And the agency also said that they had high satisfaction, that they keep coming back and asking to re-engage with us, that they're willing to hire students, that they're willing to take on practicum students, not only from that class but from BUSPH as a whole because they feel like they have a trusting relationship with our community. All right, so conclusions and future directions. We found that the field-based learning has multiple benefits for the students, faculty, collaborators, and the school that can be applied in introductory and advanced courses, which I think is really important across the lifespan of a student's experience. Based on student and agency feedback, there are benefits in both the short and the long term. And the long term is the piece that we're trying to flesh out just a little bit more now. How do we measure them maybe before they come into the classroom, when they're in the classroom, a few months out, 6 months out? How do we find them once they're in the workforce? And then how do we disentangle all of the other things that they're learning, right? So if they're in an introductory course and they say they made a few steps towards a certain professional development skill, and then they say 6 months later that they feel even more confident. Is that a result of our class? Is that a result of our program as a whole? These are things that we're trying to look at now. Appropriate evaluations of field-based learning can inform collaborations and prepare students for the workforce. I think another finding, I'll just go back to the conclusions, is trying to figure out how much time this takes. So I know we were talking just, you know, a few hours ago, talking about, you know, if you're going to implement this, let's say we're all going to teach the same course together in January, we might be looking for clients starting in, you know, June of the year before that, trying to negotiate relationships with them, trying to figure out, is this a meaty problem statement to work on? Is this something that students can actually sink their teeth into? What do I need to do to prepare the students so that they can actually have a successful experience? How do we work with career services to make sure that they're getting the skills that they actually need for the workforce, not the skills that we think that they need for the workforce? So there's a lot of agency interaction that comes into play as well. And then also figuring out how do we work more closely with the agency to figure out the limitations of the agency. So if we have a student who's implementing a violence prevention initiative and they're outlining resources that the agency cannot quite possibly get a hold of with people that the agency cannot hire and a timeline that's not feasible, that's problematic. How do we make sure that everything fits within the scope of a realistic public health presentation? So where are we moving to? Creating online tools to connect the classroom to community. We're looking at long-term evaluation and how long-term evaluation fits within our overall evaluation plan at the school. How do we measure things in the context of all the other pieces that students are connecting with? And then how do we do this within the context of our redesign and evaluation of curriculum? So we alluded to the redesign of core courses. So would this work in all core courses? If a student was in four core courses at once, would they need four field-based learning activities, or is that too much for them? Which way is it most appropriate? Those are things that we're teasing out. And that's us. That's it. Thank you.